just met Rodberry today, even though I met his wife. I guess it's been almost 10 years. Oh no. It was before Lizzie was Rodberry's wife and she had this beautiful daughter. So we're going to meet the rest of the family later on in our service, but Rodberry has been so kind to lead us in worship. Rodberry, come on up. I want to just bless you, brother, and pray over you. Yes. Thank you. God bless you for being here from Haiti. And I'm glad you're no longer wearing the big, thick coat. I know he showed up. He was freezing here, but he's warming up to us. So, amen. We're warming up to you, too. We love you, brother. And we just want to pray, God, your spirit is a spirit of freedom. And Rodberry, I proclaim that over you. You are home because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, love, joy, goodness, sound mind. So Holy Spirit, come. And as we worship you, I pray that you would release that spirit of worship. You would speak through Rodberry. You, your heart for us would be apparent. And again, God, we just thank you that we can have this kind of unity in the body of Christ. I thank you, God, that we can be at home even thousands of miles away from where we live, but we are at home in the body of Christ because of you, Holy Spirit. So you are welcome here. Come in power. Come in healing and just align our hearts through worship. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen. 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 Let's stand for worship.
And we have so many people in the past and in the Bible and writes about glorious divine that looking unto Jesus. Bible says in Hebrew chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And it says verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. You know, it is Jesus who's going to finish our faith, right? And purchase of God. And I was just reminded, yeah, that's right. I'm singing that song, and I am purchased by God. Amen. I belong to God, right? Amen. We belong to God. We are His. Who's going to take us away from God? Bible says in Romans 8, right? There's no death, no height, no nothing in the world, nothing in heavens or nothing on the earth, nothing in the universe can take that away from us. Amen. We belong to Him. Amen. So as we fix our eyes onto Jesus, and we can sing such a praise, like remarkable praise like that. I really felt like we were right in the presence of God and singing my Savior. And I was just tear just coming out of my eyes. And if singing Jesus like that and glorious divine is so good, what a wonderful day it would be when we are beholding His wondrous glory in the presence of God, right? So looking unto that, we have such a great cloud of witnesses. People said it, and no matter what kind of circumstances we have, no matter where we are in life, looking unto Jesus, perfecter and finisher of our faith, Jesus, right? Okay, ushers, please come. Let's pray for offering, and we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your wondrous, glorious foretaste of glory, glory divine. And that's right, we are looking unto you, Jesus. You are, we confess, perfecter and finisher of our faith. We are laying aside every weight, every sin that easily beset us. We are looking unto you, Jesus. Bless us in this hour. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello. That was so wonderful. I love those two that you're going to get to meet in a minute here. But we're going to do some more I am statements. Come on, who's up? Where'd they better not have took off. No. So for those of you who don't know what we do a six-week class, and Pastor John teaches us and that we know our identity in Christ and those things that war against us and how to battle those things. There she is. Okay, so here are we, and then we do a superhero pose, and this is a group that, look at Sean there, right? He wasn't up there last week, so he wanted to be up there, all right? So these ladies are going to declare what God spoke over them, all right? So awesome. You're going to be first here. This is Christina.
I'm Christina. Hi, everybody. I am a strong warrior princess who leads others to Christ, a Deborah. Okay. I am an intercessor for others who rescues captives so they can see the way to freedom. Amen. I am a teacher of children who understands and walks in righteousness. Yes. Amen. I am a loyal protector and advocate of all of my people, building them up with strength. I am a wisdom-filled showstopper who seeks all truth and communicates truth clearly.
I'm Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
I am fearless and full of life.
Amen.
I am loved and valuable. I'm kind with a heart of love.
Amen.
I'm a warrior like Sarah. I'm a woman of justice and truth like Deborah. I am a compassionate woman of faith. I am a blessing to others. I am genuine. What you see is what you get. I am also who he says I am.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to pray a blessing over you too. Okay. So, Father, I just thank you for these two amazing women. And, Lord, we just thank you for how you created them. And there is so much more. And so, Lord, we just pray for the activation of these words, Lord, that they will go forth and be all that you created them to be, that masterpiece with specific things that you created them to do. And, Lord, together, we just bind up every demonic assignment that would be sent against them to rob, to kill, to steal, destroy. And we just say, Father, fan into flame even more the gifts that are within them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Way to go, you guys.
So if anybody else wants to do their I am statements, let me know.
Marsha's the one. Sign up with her. So, yes, we are going to keep going till we get the whole class through. So, amen. Well, this is a fun little time we have here as we are going to do baptisms in a moment. And so, yes, so if you would like to be baptized, now might be a good time to go and change. I'll dismiss that group. But we're going to do a baby dedication while they're out mobilizing. And I know we have at least one baby to dedicate. Little Jerry James, right? Is he here?
No.
Joe. Okay. Now, I know we prayed ahead of time, and yes, there was a lot of original design that came in for this young man, so I think he is very significant. So, and we have Mom and Grandma standing up here too. Yay, great grandma. Okay, wow, what a blessing. Yeah, amen. I should advance. Whoops, let me get past that. There we are. I have just a few scriptures while we're thinking about this. And my favorite is in 1 Samuel, where Hannah actually prays for a son, and also was very significant. And that heart, that trust in God, and God provided, is a great model for us. And really what we're doing, and I'm glad the generations are up here, because really what we're doing is dedicating the raising of this child to the glory of God. And if you've ever tried this, you know it's a full-time job, but it takes all of us. And so, church family, this is saying to us that we will do our part. Sunday school teachers, someday youth leaders, you know, whatever influence that is, certainly prayer, we're going to do that. And thank you, everyone that already did pray. And we have some amazing revelation, which I'm going to kind of look at as I pray and bless this amazing gift from God. The other thing, I added the Mark passage, which we've always had, that they brought the children to the Lord. But this was really important to Jesus. He asked for the children. He says, no, bring them to me. They're an example of the kind of faith that it takes to get into my kingdom. So I'm going to pray some of these things. And if you're comfortable, why don't you stand and maybe even in an impartational way, just kind of raise your hands towards the front here. And we're just going to stand with mom and son and just proclaim, God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for this blessing from you. And I can see by looking at his original design what you have spoken, Lord, he's a leader. And he's one that is going to be very significant in caring for others. And righting wrongs, he loves, God, your justice and your heart. Lord, I thank you for the strength that he has. And protect that. Protect all of his original design, but also the tenderness of a heart that is full of compassion and full of care for the other. Sensitive to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we bless this child and we dedicate the raising to your glory, Jesus, and to your kingdom. And as a church family, we stand around mom and the generations and say, God, we stand together and thank you that not only can cycles be broken, but Lord, your heart for the next generation is powerful, and your heart for the next generation is success and freedom and Holy Spirit, all of your attributes of goodness and sound mind. So we just proclaim that right now together as a church family in this dedication. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the whole church together says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll give these to you. Wow. Thank you, guys. Wow. Amen. That's exciting. That's fun. He looks so comfortable. I was really tempted to try to hold him, but I thought, way too comfortable. And I learned well. We had a saying in our house, my wife taught me, you wakey, you takey. So I'm like, okay, better not grab as cute as he is. I still remember those lessons. All right, Dennis, come on up. He's going to help with doing the baptisms. And so we're going to mobilize up here. And as we're mobilizing, I'm going to talk just a little bit. I think we know these passages, but baptism is not salvation. It's evidence of salvation. It's something we do in observance to what God has already done in our heart. And so for the testimony, the public testimony of these baptisms is basically saying, yes, God is my Savior, and I want it to be known to anybody that witnesses this. I am now associating with his death and burial, but even more, his resurrection into a new life. So the significance is powerful. It's amazing, and that's what we are going to do right now prophetically. Do we have anyone, Dennis? Oh, okay.
Amen. Who's what's your name? Fallon.
Oh, Fallon.
Amen.
Yay.
Here we go. Come over here. Let's go ahead and come on up, climb in.
We can try to raise the screen for you here.
Come on, this side here. This is a little slippery, so be careful. And then just Jeff is going to be
okay.
Have the privilege of baptizing his own daughter here today. And so have you accepted the Lord as your Lord, as your Savior?
Heck yes, I have.
Amen. I guess that's good, huh? Is there something you'd like to share with everybody?
I just want to say that, you know, throughout my life, I've always been involved in church and stuff, like when I was younger. And I actually got baptized before of, you know, my own free will. But since then, you know, I kind of went astray, did my own thing for a while. And now I just really want to re-cement my relationship with God that I've been trying to build. Because it's really been helping my anxiety and helping me feel more secure and more loved in my life.
Amen. So, okay, turn around. Then have.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Fallon. Well, can I say something real quick?
You can.
I just want to say to everybody that if this was the only prayer God ever answered for me, I'd be okay with that. So, you know, I'm just really grateful. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Fallon, we love you, and we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. Can you raise the screen a little bit? Amen. Public declaration of faith. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Anyone else? He's taking his shoes off. He's getting ready. Hey, look at this. Here we have one running up here. Amen. Just. Is it Jeremiah?
Okay, got it.
Okay, come on up around here.
Be careful.
Here you go. How's the water? Is it warm? So is there anything you'd like to share with us today?
No.
Have you accepted the Lord in your life as your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, you want to hold that?
Okay.
So go ahead and plug your nose. What's his name, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah.
So Jeremiah, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in his likeness, raised to his new creation.
Woo-hoo! You need a towel? Here. Amen. Okay, come down careful.
Water's warm, and we have plenty of towels. Praise God. How about a hand for those
Amen.
Folks?
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. And the kingdom. Amen.
Well, yes. Knowing the way things go here, we'll just leave the lid off. Yes. Praise God, you never know. But amen. Wow, what a blessing. Hey, we are excited to have Rodberry and Lizzie here. And I guess I'll give a little bit of my background to the story. Lizzie was attending a discipleship training school in Mendocino, California, or actually just south of it at the Lord's Land, and I was the teacher and got to meet her and found out she spoke Haitian and was from Haiti, and I had no idea, but got to know her over that week. And I think also SSM, I think another secondary school, she was a part of that, and really just loved getting to know her and have followed her from afar, which I do for a lot of my students. I become fans of theirs. She went back to Haiti to become full-time missionary, and our teams have corresponded. Marcia, you should be up here. Come up here. You tell your side of this story, too, because even though we met Lizzie in California, the real relationship, and you know, she got married, and Rodberry, and beautiful baby girl. So all of this happened as you were taking teams down there. So maybe you could take that part of the story from there.
The first time we went, they weren't married. You know what I mean? They fell in love there, right? I'm so happy.
And Rodberry was your translator.
Yes, he was one of the translators.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lizzie was a teacher. And so it was just fun. Denise went. Chad went. I don't know if Candida and they aren't here today, but others, we took many people with us and went there and loved it. And it was we got to bring Living Free to the children there, which was a dynamic thing that they did not know what love was. They didn't know all these things about how we were created for greatness. And so we got to work with the children there. And so it just stirred all of our hearts. And I think Denise went every time I went, didn't you? Yeah. And Chad went two times, but we all loved Haiti, especially being on the base
and
there.
And Jesus went once, right?
Oh, yeah, Jesus went.
Jesus will be here shortly, so.
Okay, yeah. And so it was just meeting them and just, it was, I don't know, it was so wonderful to be on that base and even the horrible things around, the voodoo stuff and all, but there was something that God, and I just want to say this about these two, is that they have a passion for youth. And to see these children raised up to be world changers in Haiti. And that is what is happening. There are so many of those children now that are on the base helping or doing DTSs. And is Donaldson still on the base? That I won't tell that story, but if you guys want to hear a good story, come to me later and I'll tell you. But I mean, it was like, it was just dynamic. I don't know what else to say, but it was like to see the youth come running in there from all over and coming into that base, being loved, being trained in dance, in the word, and there was just life-changing moments in them. And they know they've got lots of stories to tell, but I am so grateful to know them and to see their heart and to see them married and have a precious baby and just what God is doing in your life. I just celebrate that.
So first up, I think, is Lizzie, right? If I know the order. And so, yes, thank you, Lizzie, for sharing with us. We're excited to hear.
This woman is an evangelist, powerful. Oh, Lord.
Thank you. Well, hello. I was telling John and Kathy this morning, it feels surreal being here because, I mean, almost 10 years ago is when I met them. And they said I went to DTS, and one thing they might not know is they had come in my second week of training, and in the first week I wrote in my journal, God, I'm lost. I was 18 years old. I had huge identity issues. I told the Lord, I don't know who I am. I pray that in this DTS you'll show me that. And second week they came, and through the prayers that they did and their training, it literally changed my life. It brought a lot of healing, so much freedom. I remember doing my I am statement, and I was just so like scared and shy, and just was incredible. And I remember at the end of that week, I didn't know it, but I was prophesying at the time, and I said, God, the youth of Haiti need to experience what I experienced. I was born and raised in Haiti, and I saw just such a lack of identity. I mean, they've been traumatized on a daily basis. They've been beaten down. They've been brought up in voodoo, which its root is fear and shame. So you can imagine the kind of life that they've lived. And I remember telling the Lord, I said, the Haitian youth need to experience this. And I asked them, I said, would you guys come to Haiti at some point? I don't know how. I don't know when. Can you please come? And they said, yes. And long story short, a couple years later, I emailed them and I said, I'm doing a camp. We got 30 youth. Can you please come? And Marcia brought a team, and it was revival. These kids came in very shy, very scared, very had a lot of bondage, And my favorite part of the camp was after the prayer times. They prayed with every single youth. They prayed for all of our staff. They prayed for all of our team and anyone else we could find. And after the prayer times, we would tell them, how was that? And these kids, their eyes were different. I mean, literally, I've never experienced anything like it. Their eyes were different. Their faces were different. They said, I didn't know God loved me like that. I didn't know God even knew me. And they said, they would look at the paper that was not, it was in English, but we translated it for them later. But they said, I didn't even know God knew this stuff. And the rest of the week was just that foundation of building that in. And they left. They did their I Am statements on the last day. And I was so glad I got to see you guys doing your I Am statements. And these kids would, we prepared 45 minutes for all the kids to say their I Am statements. It took 2 hours because the kids that were listening were so excited for who they were hearing that they were banging tables, they were screaming, they would jump up and run in circles. Every time someone would say, I am here to change the world, they would go, oh my God, and they would start screaming. And, you know, little girls, you know, 13-year-old girls who were super shy, you know, gone through a lot, were declaring these things, and people, you know, grown men were saying, yes, you are, you know. And it was just so powerful. And we continued to do it for 3 years, 6 camps, 3 years. Hundreds of youth went through. And Marcia and her team came every time. And they went through a lot of spiritual warfare. I remember hearing stories just to get them there. And they came. And they've left a mark. And the base there, we're not there currently. I'll share about that in a second. But they still do original design. And like she said, the youth still come through. They're part of youth groups. They are bringing other youth in. They're doing DTSs. They're on staff. They're going to other nations and doing other trainings. So it's been really powerful. And we got married, as Marcia said. Rodberry was there as the worship leader and translator for those schools. And then we got married and actually joined a different ministry 2 years ago, which is where we are currently. And the camps we did back at YWAM had 30 youth. The camps that God has given us now have 200. And I would ask you guys to pray because we definitely want you guys back. So I'm fighting. I've been emailing with Marcia. I'm like, all right, we got more. Can you pray for 200 in a week? I don't know. But yeah, God is good. But, you know, the enemy is really, really mad. There's a lot of really intense stuff going on in Haiti right now and a lot of fight, which if you look at it, it can be very discouraging, very scary. But I don't know, when you see the enemy angry, it kind of gets you excited too because you know you're doing something right. But the youth of Haiti, the next generation coming up, they need your prayers. I mean, obviously the older generations too, but we really feel, and the burning on my heart since my DTS, since they came and spoke who I was there's something about this next generation in Haiti, and we believe it's going to be a tipping point, a turning point for that nation to come back to Christ. And so that's why we're there. That's why we're there daily. We fight for that every day. And we use what God has gifted us in, which is music and dance and Bible studies. So we do that, and we bring camps and basically just hit them with whatever we have that the Lord's given us. We use that as a tool to reach them and to bring them to Christ, and not only to bring to Christ, but to know who they are. Because one thing I told the Lord is I said, I know if I know who I am, nothing can stop me. And I know that's true for all the youth and for all of you guys and for us. So I'm going to invite my husband, Rodberry, up. He's just going to share a little bit about Haiti, what's going on, how you guys can pray, and anything else.
I'm back. I feel like I don't really have much to share after she pretty much covered everything. So yeah, especially right now at this time, Haiti's going through a lot of difficult times with government and you know, opposition and all sorts of stuff that you can imagine. And I know that you guys probably see bits and pieces on the news and all that, but what has been happening for the last 2 months, if you read about Haiti, you've probably seen that word lockdown. Haiti's been locked down for the past 2 months. What does that mean? It means that transportation is almost never sure. People can't get fuel in different cities because roads are blocked. You can't really access those places. And food shortage, and all kinds of stuff that you can imagine when basically a country is like shut down. So it's been happening for the last 2 months. This past week it was a little better, but it's been said in the news that tomorrow things might be getting bad again. So it's a lot of back and forth, because the president will say, this is what I want to do, this is my plan, and then the other political groups will not agree and they want him to step down. And so it's been this back and forth, and that's why you know, all the other political parties are getting together to try and find a plan to get him to step down, and that's why they're putting all that destruction in the country, blocking things, and you know, a lot of violence. And so I want to invite you guys to pray, as you remember, especially tomorrow. It might be a heavy day in Haiti, because it's a day off, it's a holiday, and they want to take the opportunity to do as much as they can, and it might even lead to all the rest of the week. Can you imagine, because of that, school has not been able to open. Kids in most bigger cities have not been able to go to school this year. I think here in America, you guys started in August, right? In Haiti, it was supposed to start first week of September, and now we're in November. Kids are still wondering, when is this thing gonna end so that we can go to school? So Haiti needs a lot of prayer, but what I would encourage you guys to pray about is that God would raise up godly leaders, because if we don't have people with the fear of God that are going to lead us, you can imagine what's going to happen. So this new generation too, we really want prayer for this generation, because they don't see hope in the country. And now anybody my age or younger in Haiti right now, they have one thing in their mind: leaving Haiti, because life will be better. They try to go to the Dominican Republic, which is right next to us. We share one island. Or they try to go to Chile, or Mexico, or the United States, or any way possible that they can leave. They think that's the answer. But I believe, and we believe, that if those, if that generation really knows who they are and what they're capable of doing in Christ, I think they will carry the fire to change things around in the next years to come. So I want to invite you guys to be praying for Haiti, be praying specifically for godly leaders in this next generation that is growing. That way Haiti can have hope, that hope that comes from Jesus, not hope from money or from things or from the United States coming in and help us, but hope that comes from Jesus, because that one is unshakable. So thank you so much for having us. It's a privilege. I've heard so much about Pastor Joan and Kathy, but I've had the privilege to work with Marsha and the team. I'm so glad that today I've been able to come here and see the church and see this ministry, see the amazing work that you guys are doing. We are so blessed to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Hold on, Rodberry. Don't go away, because we are a praying church, and this month is our spiritual renewal month, so we're doing some extra praying. And I know you came to church today thinking, oh, you know, I might just kind of sit back in these comfortable chairs and watch. No, I think we got a call to pray right now. So it's not, I will pray later, I will pray now. So I want to paraphrase just a couple of things, because in a minute here, I just want to get in kind of small groups, and let's pray about tomorrow in Haiti. I'm tired of reading the enemy's headlines. I don't know about you, but we are not bystanders. We are not victims. We are world changers. We are ones that have access to heaven and heaven's resources. So I love when you said for the next generation and the youth there to stay there and carry the fire. That was very prophetic to me. I mean, that vocabulary just kind of went, that's how I'm praying. God, that may that fire of righteousness, of the good news of the gospel, just light through this next generation. And I think that is heaven's strategy that God has given the two of you for that next generation. And man, I don't know about you, but that's worth fighting for. That I hear that, and it's like the warrior in me wakes up, and it's like, okay, get my, you know, helmet of salvation, my shield of faith. Let's go. You know, pin my ears back. I'm going after this. Because the enemy is, I mean, I'm just tired of the thief coming into our house and stealing our stuff. So we're just going to say something. So here's what I want you to pray. And we only got like 5 minutes in small groups, but pray that this fire will ignite through the next generation, the fire of the gospel. And you got some dynamo ministers. There's others that we know and gotten to know and their network. In a place like Haiti, when you are a missionary there, you're not a one-man show. They all are interdependent, and they all know each other because, man, they have to circle the wagons literally and care for each other because, you know, they're not in Kansas in the center of a friendly territory. They're on this island, and it's, you know, it's basically them and their prayer power and their faith. So, all right, fire catches for the next generation. Anything else that you want to make a bullet point?
I almost forgot to mention this. She mentioned that we're running a bigger camp right now, which our next one is coming up in February. We're going to have about 200 youth that are going to come from different villages to one campus, and they will be staying there for 5 days. And the theme that we picked is out. It comes from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, which some of you might know. It says, "If my people were called by my name, who would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I would hear them. I would heal their land, and I would hear their country, their land." So
their land.
That's the thing that we're going to be, that's our theme for the next camp, because we thought, man, things have been bad in the country. How can we encourage the youth, you know, to get that hope that I was talking about? And so that theme came on our hearts, and that's what we're going to be doing in February with 200 youth over there.
You know, this is the real deal. I know we are somewhat insulated. I know I get grumpy if my coffee shop runs out of the flavoring I like, you know, of lattes for the day. Yeah, but imagine, I know, yeah, but imagine not being able to get fuel, imagine not being able to get food,
cash.
The banks get okay, paid. The currency is shut down, violence in the streets, you can hear it, we are very insulated, so Church of Jesus Christ, let's stand up and get in groups of three or four. Meet someone new that you don't know, that's okay. It's not about that. It's about agreement with the Holy Spirit that is in you. And I'll add one more bullet point to what Rodberry said. Let's pray for Lizzie and Rodberry and all the missionaries there in Haiti, boots on the ground. All right? So you got 5 minutes. Let's start praying right now in your small groups. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the prayers going up from the saints agreeing together. Lord, may your fire catch on in this country of Haiti. And may the next generation carry the good news of the gospel forward. And no longer will it be known as a nation shut down, a nation in the stranglehold of voodoo. But God, it will be known as a nation that cast off that demonic system and embraces the good news of the gospel, of life, of freedom, of God, your good news that we are now restored to you, Heavenly Father. So God, I pray for Rodberry and Lizzie and their family, spiritual parents, certainly of their daughter, but of many, many spiritual children. And I pray that the heritage would continue to be a blessing to the generations. God, we will fight for this next generation. Thief, we put you on notice. You are bound. You are the trespasser, and you are the one that must leave. We are God's people, called by his name. And so we humble ourselves and pray, and we are willing to turn of our wicked ways. Any way, God, we have been isolated, and any ways we have been prayerless because we're so comfortable, we repent, and we receive, we're forgiven, and we walk in the opposite spirit of praying for this country of Haiti and all the missionaries that are locked arms with Rodberry and Lizzie. And God, we just thank you for this divine appointment. Thank you that they were able to come here today. God, thank you for this victory. Lord, tomorrow we're not trusting politicians. Tomorrow we're trusting your spirit to change things. And we'll read it a couple days later. But God, we pray that may your spirit pour out in Haiti tomorrow. In Jesus' name, the whole church together said, amen. 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 Thank you, team. Okay. Well, this is good for us, right? You come to church and it's not just spectator sport. You actually have to do some heavy lifting. You had to do some work today. So that's good. You know, I don't want you to get too comfortable out there. So, amen. Hey, we got about 10 minutes, and I want to use the 10 minutes to talk about next Sunday, because speaking about warming you up to, this is not a spectator sport, you're not coming once a week just to sit on the sidelines, you are going to have your chance to get in the game next Sunday, because that's going to be our healing service. And number one assignment, invite somebody that needs healing. And I make you a promise, they will be treated with dignity, they will be treated with care, they will be blessed. That is a guarantee to you that I personally make right now. Now, on top of that, they might even be healed. And I think it is worth the invite to get them in this room where there's going to be a lot of faith. Not just mine, not just yours, but all of ours. You saw it in action. They're praying for the country of Haiti. It's going to be worth getting them in this room and see what happens. So this is a couple of things leading up to that. Friday and Saturday are 2 days we've set aside for fasting. You're welcome to fast both those days and pray. You are welcome to fast one or part. That is up to you, and it's between you and the Lord. But I've taught on this before, but please remember this. Number one, all of us are at war with our flesh. It's our spirits that hunger and thirst for Christ Jesus, and it's our spirits that live by faith that are going to be so powerful on Sunday when we pray for people's healing. So to make fasting really kind of easy to think about, it's basically telling your flesh, you are not the boss. Now, I don't know about your flesh, but my flesh doesn't like to hear that. And it starts complaining and crying back, and I'm like, I don't care. You are not the boss. And to me, that is a good fast. So if you know your diet, you know medically what you're able to do. And even if you do one meal, and it's with that heart, and you actually spend some time praying instead of preparing or gathering or finding food or whatever we do, man, that's success. And that's going to be a momentum carried into the ministry time on Sunday. Now, some of you have been doing this for a while with us, and fasting, you're used to this. You're used to church-wide fast, which this is, by the way. And we're going to do another one in January. So those of you that are used to this, you're welcome to do more than one meal. You're welcome to do one more than one day. You can do those 2 days. We've set aside those 2 days. To me, I would say if you're not used to this, the best fast and the way I started was I would eat a dinner the night before and not eat again until dinner the next day, 24 hours. So that's a 24-hour fast. That's a one-day fast. And you may think, oh, well, that's nothing. Well, if you haven't done it before, start there. Remember, drink plenty of liquids. But again, if you have done it before, it's between you and the Lord. You kind of lose the power of it if you're talking to all your friends about it. It's best that nobody knows except you and the Lord, because we really are guarding our hearts, and our hearts can be deceptive and they can be difficult to rein in. But if we can do this, the reason we are doing it these 2 days is because of Sunday, which is actually the 24th, right? So, okay. And then 22nd, we're having a worship night, and Jesus is, yeah. Jesus, we're going to start at 6, and he's, I think, prepared 2 hours worth, and some people have already petitioned him and said, well, what if it wants to go longer? And he just said he's going to keep going until his arm gives out from playing the guitar. So we're going to start at 6. You are welcome to come and join in and stay for part of the time, all of the time. That's up to you. But again, this is a plan. This is to ramp up, so to speak. It's not for God. God doesn't need our faith. It's for us. It's for our faith to continue to rise up and rise up and rise up. So some fasting, rather than, you know, Friday night dinner, snack, whatever, come and Friday night worship. Have that be your spiritual food, and it'll take your mind off that you're hungry, and believe me, you will be blessed. So this is the strategy leading up to Sunday for our healing service. And real quickly, I want to go over just one example of healing, which happens to be one of my favorite in Scripture. I don't get to talk about it very much. It's kind of overlooked in many of the healings that Jesus did. But there's a couple takeaways that I think will apply to us. And I want you to think about a week from today, next Sunday, when you are in this room. And it's our healing service. One Sabbath, so imagine that basically Jesus was at church. This is very conventional, very normal, very business as usual. But he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. Now, this also is kind of a unique passage in Scripture that we know what caused the infirmity. Now, please, when you invite somebody that is sick next week, we are not inferring that, oh, it's because of some sin. No, we're not, you know, you got a demon on your left shoulder. You don't even need to use that vocabulary. All we are going to pray is that you are free, that you feel better. I am anointed by the Spirit of the living God to set captives of every type free. And infirmity controls you. Infirmity, you are not free. And so I am just praying part of my I am statement, part of your I am statement, based on Luke 4, 18 and 19. So let's not get into the technical of, you know, the whys. But in this case, rare in Scripture, but in this case, we actually do know why. He saw a woman, and it's told, this is the fingerprints of an evil spirit. So she had been doubled over for 18 years. That is a long time. And was then unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand up straight. Wow, how she praised God. Now, I have to read between the lines here, but it's not very difficult, and I hope you already have. I want you to see the compassion of Jesus. he wasn't there to heal. He was doing church, very normal routine, done it every Sabbath, but he happened to notice somebody that was suffering. And I think you have this heart. And this is all we want to create next Sunday. If you notice somebody that is suffering, wouldn't you try to relieve their suffering? Amen. I think the answer would be yes. Now we stop because, well, I don't know if I can. I've never healed anyone before. What if I pray and nothing happens? Man, I get it. We go through the whole list of what ifs. But can I say the what ifs are demonic? Just throw those out. Because compassion is of God. And for me, I'm going to choose the law of love. I'm going to choose to love somebody. And yes, we can guard our vocabulary, but pray with boldness and pray that, Lord, we are asking for relief. We're asking, like, this dear woman, you just saw her and you loved her and you saw that she was suffering for all those years? And she would come to church every week, and they're just like, oh, yeah, you know, there's Mabel. We don't know her name. I just made that up. But, I mean, you know, it's just, it becomes normal, right? It becomes like, oh, okay, you know, see you next week. Wow, Jesus couldn't do that. He knew it was Sabbath, by the way. He got a lot of heat for healing on the Sabbath. He knew it would cause a ruckus, but his compassion for her was greater. And that's how I want to pray for everybody, by the way. I don't want to pray an agenda. I don't want to pray, oh, I teach this thing called original design. You should listen. No. I want my compassion for people to be like this, to be like Jesus. And many of you, not only when you pray, but you correspond and in your work, this is what comes out. This is what's evangelistic. It's not the stuff we know. It's not our style of doing things. It's, can this compassion come out our pores? Can it go through our body language? Can it come out our voice? Because you have to kind of read between the lines, but this is what our Lord was doing. I wish we had video of this, because she knew it was God's love for her. The response was automatic. Now, I don't exactly know how the format is going to go next week. I'll coach you a little bit. As you did today, prayed in small groups, we'll do that again over anyone that wants prayer. But for everyone that, you know, maybe is too embarrassed to volunteer to get prayer, or you know, it takes a bit of humility, right, to say, yeah, I have an infirmity and I need prayer. We're going to have a healing tunnel next Sunday. We'll end the service with create a tunnel down the aisle here. I'm going to take just 2 minutes to explain that, because if you haven't seen that before, it might be confusing to you. But our prayer teams will line up on both sides and create literally a tunnel. And the idea is people will walk through it and they will get prophetic words and they will get blessing as they go through. Hopefully they will keep walking and no one will plug up our tunnel. But hey, that's up to the Lord. The idea is, when I talk about it to the prayer teams, I say, think of a car wash, you know, those car washes that you drive into and it keeps you moving. As long as people are moving, that's okay, because we create a long line. But we'll just try to keep people moving, and we'll bless and pray for everyone. And can I say, at the end of the day, that can't hurt. Amen. Right? Amen. And that's what you're inviting someone to. It's like, hey, you're sick. I guarantee you this, we're not going to make it worse. We might even make it better. And glory to God. There's been several healings this month already in this room. And so I know God has been doing that to encourage us. And maybe we could have time to do that next week. I'll you know, I know Samuel, I know Karen has both reported healings to me. Happened in this room. We didn't even pray specifically, but happened in this room. Just doing our normal service, spiritual renewal service. Also, we have a team coming from actually, I don't even know the church they're coming from. I taught at one church called New Life in Bothell area, and a subgroup from another church came, and I didn't know this, I'm just teaching. They were from another church. Anyway, they happened to all be in a prayer ministry together, and they want to start a healing ministry, which always gets me excited. I'm always like, yeah, awesome, high five. So they came down last week and met with Kathy and I, and we didn't quite understand why they wanted to meet with us, but that was it. They said, hey, we want more training on how to start a healing ministry. And we said, well, your first lesson starts next Sunday. So they are going to be here next Sunday. Yes, five or six of them are coming down, and they're going to join in with us. And, you know, the rest of us misfits that God has called to live supernaturally, they're going to join right in, fit right in. And I invited them. I said, hey, we will both learn together as we see God's Holy Spirit fall. And not only will people be blessed, they will be loved. They will be treated with dignity and care. But I think God is going to do some miraculous healing next Sunday. So to end this service, I know Karen wanted to make a presentation. So could we do that now? And yeah. And Lizzie and Rodberry, will you come up? Because actually they want to present this to you. So will you guys come on up here? And Kathy, you want to grab the microphone? I don't know if. So Karen, you want to explain what you've been doing? Keep talking, I think. If it's green light, you're okay.
Marcia, where are you? There you are. Marcia goes to jail with Kathy. And they ministered to a lady I know who invited me here 8 years ago. And this is how I want to thank you, Marcia, and support you in your heartfelt passion for Haiti and the children of Haiti. I made these hats for you. It's supposed to say Haiti.
Oh, I see. It's okay.
To say Haiti. Does it say Haiti? Sort of. It's there. Do you see it?
Okay. Yeah, you guys can come out front. Sorry, we didn't mean to. So those are all. Hopefully, you have room in your luggage. You're able to compress them down and take them back for the.
There's much more.
There's a bunch more. So we'll. We'll help in getting them to Haiti. So, amen. Well, let's stand for the benediction. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Karen. That is really special. That is awesome. She made all of those. Wow. Well, God, thank you for your presence today and the blessing of being together as the family of God. Lord, protect the original designs that were proclaimed today. Protect the baptisms, Lord, thank you for those amazing testimonies and declarations of new life. God, protect the dedication, baby dedication, and Lord, just everything that we have proclaimed today, we believe is prophetic. We believe, God, it has the resources of heaven standing behind the words. They're not just words. God, also, we pray your lavish blessing be poured out on Rodberry and Lizzie and their family and their ministry and their teams in Haiti. God, thank you for this partnership. Blessed indeed, in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said,
amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming to church today. You're dismissed.